The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our YouTube channel at messagecenter.show/YouTube.
Welcome, everyone. Good now, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. We're not saying goodbye, by the way. But
yeah, don't say goodnight.
No, it's a global greeting.
Off, they'll go to sleep. And it'll, it's just...
Yeah, that's right. Good now, Daniel. You've got iced water. I've got a half a coffee and a Yammer mug.
Great. I do have a clear liquid in my glass.
All right. Sorry about the lateness. Having some fun with our gear this morning, among other things. But we're here now, and we're joined by Suzanne Hunt, Phil Worrell, Jamie Willis, Rose, and a few others. I like to say this, and all the thousands of people that are a bit shy to type in the chat. Right.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
What's Tennessee the home of today? Because I've been seeing some good barbecue pictures lately.
Yep. Of hot. We're home of hot. Just hot. We have 17 days straight, I think it is, of over 90 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, Fahrenheit.
So 90 degrees Fahrenheit is around 32.25 Celsius. And so we've been above that. So we've hit 99 on Friday. No. Yes. I think that was Friday, which is around 37.25 Celsius. And we hit 96 yesterday. It's just been, which is about 35.5 Celsius. So it's been warm, and it's not a dry heat. Let's just leave it at that. It is not a dry heat, and it is it's just warm. So we're enjoying the air conditioning here, and ready to rock and roll and talk about all the wonderful things we've seen in the Message Center, and those that have not shown up in the Message Center. We have big one today.
Yeah. Let me start to promo too those two hashtags that we got the community to vote about. People are starting to use them. Hashtag M365Change for when you see a change and you observe something, you go, what is this? Ooh, is this new? And if you see something that's out or misbehaving, it is hashtag M365Alert. And we're starting to see people use those. They combine it with the product or the platform that they've seen, like hashtag SharePoint or hashtag Microsoft Teams. And it's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll be using those in the show and across the week as well to engage the community and see what you're seeing and what you've observed. But let's cut on over to our messages.
Yes.
Beginning with, what's this one?
We already did that one.
Yeah, the air. We did? Was that last week?
Yeah.
We did.
Didn't we?
All right.
Or did we not?
Well, I know it is familiar because we had talked about it.
We have talked about it. Oh, yep. No. So this is, you're showing the general availability for automated investigation and response, AIR, with Office 365. I actually don't think we talked about it last week. We have talked about it, but this is the announcement of the general availability. The public preview was, when was that? Let me look at the message.
It was a few weeks ago. That's why it feels so familiar.
It says April is when it was announced. And so we talked about it, and so we kind of jumped in there. But anyway, so general availability. That was quick. I guess the preview was successful.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe it was all because it was automated as it investigated and responded to threats.
Good job there.
Yeah, but I mean, that's part of it, isn't it? Like, if it is a service that is about automation, then it's going to behave in a programmatical way. Going to GA, that's good to see. So just recapping what it is, we're looking together. User reported phishing emails, user clicks on malicious links, change the verdict, malware detected post-delivery, fish detected post
Fish.
delivery.
We like the fish. No, we don't. That's a joke.
But the goal here is to try and take the burden off an admin so that they can get on with other things and know that at least the bulk of these kinds of threats are being dealt with automatically. Just love how they've worked in that AIR acronym, because it feels like we've gone
Right,
through
it's all.
phases of AIR this and AIR that for certain technology products. It's very nice. AIR gap.
It's a, well, and it's a lot of words too. Automated long automated investigation and response. It's just a lot of words, so AIR is nice to use.
All right, because neither of us are super experts in this area, let's keep moving along to
Okay.
something which I've been only really recently reading about in depth, the
Yeah.
sensitivity labels. I know that I've seen this feature talked about and bragged about. That's a great way to make content secure quickly by, just choose one thing. It's a label.
Right.
And now.
Well, and I wanted to, I had a plan, Daryl, to pull in someone, a party, someone in part of the Regarding 365 team that is more expert on this.
Oh, I think I know. I think I know who.
However, there's this event going on at Microsoft this week that a few of us are at. I am not, and you are not, however. And it just wasn't going to work out. But
What is
this
that?
apart.
Air lift. So, I mean, there's another air
Yes.
thing.
That's right. Nice. Nice to work that in. Yeah, the airlift. So the but. Being able to support, I know that being able to support the sensitivity labeling when you're entering metadata in for documents, and being able to say, label it appropriately so that it's not something that you have to do outside of the Office application, but it's something that they respect, I think is an amazing feature when you're really needing to, categorize content and provide that sensitivity levels, for your content. So I think this is a good update, and it's going to be, it does not apply to the government cloud, GCC, unfortunately,
Not
but
yet.
not yet, right?
Now we do see some delays with things like that coming through. I think it'd be good to are we thinking of Joe? Joanne, yeah. Joanne Klein, she's got some good depth of experience in this. We really should get some help with her explaining this, because some of the content around this is a little confusing. If you're wanting this capability to come through to Office for Windows, then you shouldn't be using Azure Information Protection. You've got to migrate your labels through to this, which I thought that there was benefits of one over the other, but it looks like it's going back into Microsoft Information Protection.
Yeah, and I think the real key here, and we'll hit Joanne Klein up on this, but you could go over and visit her blog. She's got a lot of information concerning labels. So definitely go check her out and others. But she was just the one I was thinking of when I saw this message. So, but it, you know how this works, going back and forth with, well, let's move it over here and let's move it over there. So, whatever they're calling it these days, still labeling and having protection based upon labels is great.
Well, I mean, it was more than just a label for the labels too. Like, it wasn't simply a change in name, but it was being managed out of Azure for Azure Information Protection. Now it's being managed out of the Security and Compliance Center, and it brings that control, excuse me, back directly in with Office. But the goal too is to make sure that the content is protected, even if it is outside of, well, especially if it's outside of your organization and control. Like, if you're sending an attachment or an email, no longer in your environment, but somehow that protection stays with the document. It stays encrypted if it's at its highest level, or watermarked if it's a bit further down the scale. Very clever stuff, but yeah, I want to see like what. I saw some documentation saying if you want this feature, you got to keep it in Azure Information Protection. But if you want it to do this, then you got to shift it over to Microsoft Information Protection. So, yeah, let's check out Joanne Hugh Klein's blog. Kara Hughes is quite interested in that. So if you want to just grab that link while I
Her blog is joannecklein.com, and that's Klein as K-L-E-I-N. com. And you could also check out her content over on our website at regarding365.com. That content will be over there as well.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yep.
Moving further up, we have Upload Center. Upload Center. That crazy little orange dot that sometimes would appear in the system tray to say, sometimes. particularly frequently before OneDrive got its remodeling done a couple of years back. Remember how many times we'd used to see that because there was clashes and this can't be uploaded because something else
Got so frustrated with that.
Yeah.
You have a Word document up and you save it. And you're just trucking along and you save it. And all of a sudden pops up in your system tray. Oh, we had a problem uploading that. What? I've been saving it all day. Like, what? You just now had a problem with it? And how do you fix that stuff? And it was so difficult to fix it because there was so many. Well, try this and then try this other thing. And then, you know, delete the file. You know, like there's just so many remedies. And just to see the death of the Upload Center is frankly a welcome sight. So this announcement is Upload Center is being replaced by the in-app files needing attention experience. And this is beginning mid-October 2019. So I still think, you know, there are times to have issues, and that's why there's a needing attention experience in the apps, you know, PowerPoint, Excel, and Word, and et cetera. Mm. But that Upload Center, I'll tell you, whenever I saw that, generally what I would do is I'd lock my machine, walk away, and go do something else. I just couldn't, after a while, not initially, but after a while, because frankly, the way to fix it never seemed to make sense.
And you kind of never knew where you were at, right? Like it's popped up after maybe it successfully saved half an hour ago. So if you start following that advice, you're like, well, what have I lost? And the Upload Center was all about caching your content so that it's, you know, then going to be uploaded into SharePoint or OneDrive. Needed a separate application for that. Now it's part of Office. Admittedly, I still see an error occasionally.
Yes.
In like Word yesterday, I was typing away on a document and I found why it had clashed. It was because our book author had dropped in some comments and I hadn't been working on the local cached file. But I'm not supposed to worry about that. It's supposed to all happen seamlessly in the background.
Just work. So anyway, seeing the Upload Center, I'm not, you know, I don't know who worked on that, who was the PM on that, you know, I'm sorry, but, it's one of those, you know, I didn't like it. So, being replaced with the in-app and hopefully it'll be a better experience and help us to understand where the issue has happened. Now, I'll tell you right now, I've had some frustration with the files needing attention experience as well. Not as much, and generally it's due to something that I did kind of squirrely or being offline or something, you know, being something that, you know, how you can save to OneDrive.
Yep.
And sometimes Office saves it locally, so it sees it as C:, you know, users, whatever, but then sometimes it sees it as whatever live, whatever, you know, that URL. So it's trying to save it online, and it gets confused if you're offline and you're trying to save it anyway. So we still have some problems, but generally speaking, it's pretty easy to resolve those. Bye, Upload Center.
Yeah. Well, there was one other thing about this too. The distinction between a file that you are intentionally synchronizing using OneDrive, and then files that you just open because you've opened it from SharePoint or a place that you're not synchronizing. This tends to deal with that, you know, the uploading and caching of a file where you haven't intentionally downloaded it to your machine and you're synchronizing it that way. Yeah, well, there we go. Just start managing it from your... Oh, hey, we haven't given the advice. Let's see, what have they said? Instruct your users to go to File, Open, and Files Need Attention to open or discard files that did not save successfully. So that this is some useful advice. It's not, you do not need to tell anything to your users.
You do, actually.
You really do. Yeah. And they probably will ask about it in here. What's this exclamation mark, and why do files need my attention? I've been giving files attention all day, for goodness sake. Anyway.
This is rolling out to the insiders, Office Insiders community, mid-October 2019. And the rollout will be completed by the end of December 2019.
Are you an insider, Daniel?
I am an insider, Daryl.
All right. Whiteboard.
Yes, sir.
If you do not use Whiteboard on Surface Hub, you can disregard this notice. Well, I have this Surface Hub right here. Actually, it's Surface Hub 2, just so that you're... All jealous.
Wow.
Right, whatever.
Wow. Big money.
Did you get this message as well?
I did. So, you know, we talk about this quite frequently about messages are supposed to be targeted, and obviously this one's not targeted. But it may be that maybe they don't have telemetry on whether we've used it on the Surface or not. I don't know. Surface Hub, but I have used Whiteboard, so maybe that's why we're seeing it. I'm not sure. But I think it should say if you do not use or plan to use, because, you know, what if I plan on using it in the future? But regardless, this is a configuration change for Whiteboard, and they communicated the change, this easy share, and last month, and this is the ability for us to make sure that we have it configured to work the way we want it to, right, Daryl? This is the settings for us to make sure that, do we want to turn it on or off for the entire organization, but do we want to enable the easy sharing from the Surface Hub?
Well, it's our familiar share icon. And we tap that. And the last Surface Hub I used was a couple of weeks ago at a customer's place. Mm-hmm. I was delightfully surprised to see the new Whiteboard experience because it's consistent now. I've got the same Whiteboard app on my Windows machine, on my Surface Pro. And yeah, just that share button allows me to either turn it into an image and then email it off or save it somewhere. Anyway. It is resolved. So if you're using a Surface Hub, then all good. But what's the action required by the 10th of October?
Nothing.
No, that's a little confusing.
It is. Well, if you want to turn it, if you want to change the setting, the default setting, then you need to do that by October 10th.
Okay. Good.
Yep.
Last one in the list.
Yes,
action
sir?
Requested, not required, but please.
Right,
hang on. Hang on. Action requested, action required.
Yes.
All right.
It is required by the 30th that you take the requested action. There you go. That's the way to read it.
And which, you know, may or may not be the case for you.
So this is all about the new iPad OS, right? This is the new OS that that Apple released, and making sure that if you're using Intune, that you are, and conditional access, that it's addressed appropriately because it's a new OS, right? So Intune needs to know that, you know, this new thing is there.
Well, it's the thing that's different about it is that we've had iOS for some time, which covered both iPad and iPhone.
Right.
Now they've branched it out to its own OS, so it does a few more things. Intune needs to be prepared to deal with that. So,
right.
You know, with these new devices that are going to start receiving, well, what if, can they call it iPad OS 13? Because it is all the core iOS 13, but it's iPhone, right. iPad. so that's where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. Hasn't quite yet been released, but some that have been put in on the betas have been trying things out and pretty happy with it. If you're wanting to, you know, continue to protect those devices, have them bound to conditional access, you know, if it's conditional access, and you haven't made the changes or you haven't seen this, then it's likely to be blocking those devices anyway, not being able to recognize them.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's the default, right? What is this device? Go away. Don't know you.
See ya.
Be gone. Bad device.
Right.
All right. Now on to our section for other stuff. Mm-hmm. What have you observed this week?
Well, one thing I wanted to call attention to is some of the API changes that are going on behind the scenes for calls. And I tweeted it out. When did I tweet that out? But there's been some blog posts on the Office 365 dev site about this, that there's some changes and to the APIs, and they're pretty quick. It's not so I tweeted it out actually this morning for API updates in the Microsoft Graph beta. So if you were you had beta changes and are using those beta switches, or I'm sorry, using those API calls, but they were beta, but they're getting rid of them and replacing them. And if you're using them, then you need to make sure you update. So I wanted to make sure to highlight that. That blog post is called Breaking Changes, Calls and Online Meetings API Updates in Microsoft Graph Beta. So that's on the Office 365 developer blog.
Yeah, and that's a good place to be checking for other changes. Mm-hmm. I use a trick with the blogs and the tech community. I grab the RSS feeds and drop them mm-hmm. all into Feedly. So I can go mm-hmm. through daily, and I use that. It's sort of interleaved in between all the news that I might read as well. So I'm mm-hmm. likely to bump into things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sometimes you'll see a blog post that's released before a message in the message center. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's the other way around.
Right.
Sometimes it's referencing old content. Yeah, scanning through, I didn't see anything in the few blogs that I usually follow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but no observed changes that I can see. However, again, just repeating, encouraging you as a community to start using those hashtags, hashtag M365change. If you see something that's changed in Microsoft 365 and you want to share it, discuss it, see if anyone else has seen it, mm-hmm. follow it by the hashtag of the product that you might have seen. Like if you've seen something change in Microsoft Teams, maybe they've released a different kind of background or something, or you know, blurs blurrier. I don't know.
Ooh.
Maybe they've got front face front. Was it background blur? Foreground blur is what I'd say. Yeah.
Foreground blur.
Yeah. So your background's perfectly fine, but it's blurring your face because you want to be in witness protection. Completely ignore the name underneath. So that would be worthy of a hashtag M365change, hashtag Microsoft Teams, hashtag what the f. but you get the idea. Yeah.
Yep. And then so M365change and
M365 alert. So if you notice an outage, you know, sometimes we've occasionally got some weird stuff going on and it turns out to be things like Azure AD or something happening in your particular data center that's you know, behaving badly.
Yep.
Teams not signing in or something. I don't know. Okay. We'll make it up as we go along. But if you do see that, the benefit here is that if you're following that hashtag, then you can jump in and say, what is the community talking about? You know, what are they seeing? What are they observing? It's a bit raw, like it's not coming from official channels. You follow, there's a Microsoft 365, what's it called, status update Twitter account, which is quite useful. It'll push out things that are authoritative. But it's good to also, as a community, just say, what are we seeing? And there's a bit of honesty in that too, isn't there? You know?
Well, and it's also because sometimes you have an experience that Microsoft's not willing to even acknowledge yet because they haven't seen it as much, right? Anomalies are because you can't access Office 365, for instance, like you can't log into the portal. Well, that could be many things that have to do with you. That could be your machine, your internet connection, your filters, et cetera,
your lack of coffee.
You're like someone cut your internet line down the street, you know, whatever. Yep.
And so you were driving and you were trying to log into stuff and you probably shouldn't have been driving and logging in. Doing it.
You'd mistyped the URL. So anyway, if there is an issue, you can call it out on the socials with those hashtags and letting people understand, hey, this might be going on, to where we can bring some awareness to it so that we do not go around, all of us individually going, oh, is this not working? We can collectively go, oh, something is going on. And so maybe I shouldn't, you know, be throwing things against the wall because I'm so mad it doesn't work. Yeah. You know, just go ahead and open up a ticket because there is something that's not working. So,
yeah. And that is the good follow on as well. We've seen some development around the ability to log tickets that, it's effectively, you can say, me too. Yep, I'm getting that issue as well. And by signaling that it's you as well, then that weight behind the 20, 30, 100, 500 people that are saying, yep, we see it as well, then it's going to get some priority.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, Phil does call out that the tweets that come from MSFT365 status only come out for big issues, so they're not going to come out for something that's only happening in one data center. Maybe not.
So I just wanted to announce breaking news from Mary Jo Foley. We need a sound. We need a button. Anyway, we'll come up with that. But anyway, so just saw on Twitter 1 minute ago that Microsoft Build, as the date has been announced, May 19th through the 21st, 2020, in Seattle. So just wanted to throw that out there, that that's going to be happening in Seattle. And then Inspire is happening July 20th through the 24th, 2020, in Las Vegas.
Again.
Yeah. Again.
They've found their home for different events, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So anyway,
that was us, the 365 Message Center show, episode 111, which in New Zealand is actually an emergency number. You have 911. Certainly felt like an emergency 3 minutes before the show when I couldn't get our gear running properly.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, thanks for joining us.
Palindrome
to those in the chat. Yep. We'll catch you again soon. Bye for now.